It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Coming at you every week to talk all the things that make us love sports. The games, the rivalries, and of course, the personalities.
The March. I almost said the March, man. I'm going to go to the Walmart.
I like indefinite articles, okay?
Can we just start over?
Absolutely.
Hey there, everybody. We're coming at you live. If it's about as live as Memrex used to be.
Man, that's a great callback right there.
As we're recording this on a Monday night, the sun has set in the western sky. And here in Louisiana, that means the sky is a beautiful purple with stars. It makes you just want to listen to Prince, a little Purple Rain. Listen to that epic guitar solo.
Oh, yeah.
Golly, Darren, can you believe he passed in 2016? It's been that long.
It really is amazing. It truly was a loss to the entire music world because, you know, the incredible thing about it was even though he was always very well respected, I think there were a lot of people that when he passed went, wait a minute, he did that and he wrote that. And I don't think people truly had an understanding of just what he brought to the music world during his time here.
Well, he would have loved Louisiana because every night's like this. The purple sky behind us, it's just gorgeous. But Prince put on one of the most epic Super Bowl halftime shows ever, 2007. Mm-hmm. That was in Miami, wasn't it?
Yes.
The rain was pouring down, and he carried on the show. Just watching him unleash some of those epic guitar solos in his music, it was an incredible performance that we got to witness.
Truly one of the best ever.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about Prince. It's just... You think purple, you think of certain things, LSU, print, you know, the list can go on.
I was going to say, we could talk about Prince. I mean,
I think there was even an ice cream stand near where my grandfather's farm was in southeastern Kentucky. I think it was the Purple Cow.
Oh, no way.
I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway. But let's get into our news and notes for today. Enough of the personal memory lane trip. We start off with the Georgia Bulldogs coming in at number one for the 19th week and counting. Only two teams have held the number one spot for consecutive weeks longer. That's Miami, who held it for 21 weeks from 2001 to 2002. And, of course, the great USC teams coached by Pete Carroll did it for 33 straight weeks from 2003 to 2005. So Georgia hanging on, despite the fact there are some who are voting other teams number one. I think Michigan received 19 first place votes, which is
unreal.
I don't know. People like drama. Have you seen Michigan's schedule? Hello. Exactly. Does anyone look at that schedule? Anyway. But speaking of Michigan, let's go ahead and talk about it. I'm going to mix up the order here.
Speaking of Michigan.
How many messy situations have we heard about from Michigan in Jim Harbaugh's tenure? This
it
time
really is
it
incredible.
It's a staffer, Connor Stallions. I want to say Stallions. And I said that earlier, Darren, and I immediately thought of Wild Stallions, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, let's pause the recording. Let's go out to the garage and jam a little bit.
Let's go. Let's play some Wild Stallions.
maybe we can get Eddie Van Halen to play a solo. I don't know how to summon him from the grave, but
exactly.
Oh man, talk about another great guitarist that we lost. Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
This is turning into a music episode.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
No. So Michigan's in trouble. This staffer that we just mentioned, this Connor Stallions, he has evidently been recording signals from other teams. He bought tickets to 30 different games over a 3-year period. Three different people sat in the seats that he bought. And they basically, with a phone, recorded the other team's sidelines the whole time. This is supposed to be pretty far reaching from what we're hearing. The NCAA is looking into it, and we will stay on top of this. But yet another messy situation up in Michigan.
Yeah, it just I mean, you don't even know what to say about this one. It's just it's how many things can you continue to do? again, like you said, just another messy situation. At some point, surely they're going to catch on and cut this junk out, because it seems like it's something just like we're talking about all the time. It just, it's a little much there, Coach Harbaugh. Let's let's do something different for a minute. Just a thought.
Yeah. Well, another coaching news, Arkansas, riding a six-game losing streak that has put Sam Pittman on the hot seat, has fired offensive coordinator Dan Enos. Now, Darren, you from the get-go, you were not a fan of this hire.
No, and honestly, if you would have told me that, I wouldn't have been surprised that he would be fired before the season was over with. It just, he and Dow Loggins at South Carolina, both, those were both hires that everybody kind of went, what? I don't. And I mean, surprisingly, Dow Loggins has worked out a little bit better, but yeah, this just didn't, it didn't make sense from the beginning. There was not a track record there. It just didn't seem to work, that it would work. And here we are, obviously it didn't. Unfortunately for Sam Pittman, and really, truthfully, really unfortunate for KJ Jefferson. What a waste of a last year. That's so unfortunate that his last season has gone the way it has. You really, really hate that for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot going on in Arkansas, and we'll see how it all pans out. Down in Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, Texas, starting quarterback Quinn Ewers was injured in their game against Houston this past Saturday. I believe it was in the third quarter. The diagnosis is a grade 2 AC joint sprain in his right shoulder. He is, I think Sarkisian is saying he's day-to-day, but he will definitely be out for their upcoming game this week. Malik Murphy is set to start, although Sarkisian says that Arch Manning will be available. I'm not sure how much stock to put into that, because I think they're going for a red shirt for Manning. So I think they're going to probably go with Malik Murphy.
Yeah, I think behind the scenes, of course, this is all unconfirmed, but I think we've talked about it before. I think that was part of the deal of what got them to got Manning to Texas, is that was one of the things that basically the entire Manning family was looking for. We need a guarantee that he will not basically step on the field. And so it would be shocking if he went on the field at all. I think you're exactly right.
They play the BYU Cougars this Saturday. Well, let's look at our AP top 25 and the current SEC teams that are in the poll. Georgia, of course, as we mentioned, is number one. OU, still officially the Big 12, but SEC for all our intents and purposes.
That's right.
Is coming in at number six, continuing to climb the ladder after a good win against UCF, a tough win.
Tough.
Texas coming in at number seven, another tough game with Houston, but there was so much background between Houston and Texas that on paper, that may not look like it was going to be a good game, but if you know the backstory of how those universities despise one another, you knew there was going to be fireworks in that game.
Absolutely.
Alabama has moved up to number nine with an impressive win over Tennessee. Ole Miss survived at Auburn. They're at number 12. LSU, after a win against Army, moved up to number 15, Missouri at 16, Tennessee tumbled down to 21. So those are the SEC teams as we see them in the AP top 25. No comment on that, Darren.
Well, you know, the only thing I was going to say, and I didn't want to necessarily chase us down the rabbit hole, but really kind of, I think you have to tag Missouri as the single most surprising team in the conference this year. Would you agree with that? I mean, we didn't necessarily think they were going to get, you know, go 6-6 and look horrible. You thought there was at least a potential for them to have a good year, but I don't know that anybody saw the year that they have. What, one loss, 16th in the country. Brady Cook is a beast. Their running game looks impressive. Their wide receivers, you know, everybody knew about Luther Burden, but they've had a couple more step up that have had some good games as well. I don't know that anybody, and if you claim you did, I'll need to see the receipts, as they say. I don't know that anybody saw them being as complete of a team as they appear to be at this point in the season. To me, that's just as surprising as the number 16 ranking. Really, really impressive showing by them so far.
And the loss to LSU, they jumped all over LSU at the beginning of that game. And some late-game heroics from Jaden Daniels turned the tide. But this Missouri team is tough.
Yeah, and you know, even with the success they're having, you know, one of the things that's always talked about with Vanderbilt is you got to learn how to win. When you're used to things being a certain way, you have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to sustain a game. You have to learn how to overcome things and kind of ride the tide and stay even keel. And those things are very difficult when you're used to things kind of falling apart on you. And I think even in that loss to LSU, you could kind of see things slip away from them and opened up the door for Jaden Daniels to put the exclamation point on it that he did with the stuff that he was able to do. And so that was a learning lesson for them. Even in that moment, you have to learn how to sustain those things. So really impressive all the way around.
Let's get into our week 8 takeaways from this past weekend, which was week 8. We are already heading into week 9. Can you believe that? So let's talk about what we just saw this past Saturday. Darren, what's your number one takeaway from this past weekend?
Well, my first takeaway is not from Saturday. It's from Sunday. Paul Feinbaum was on SportsCenter and said that Alabama fans can go ahead and book their rooms and pack their bags. It's a lock. Alabama is going to Atlanta. They've already, the ticket is punched, according to Paul Feinbaum. Now, does Alabama look more impressive than any of us thought they would, you know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? Yes, absolutely. Does it look like they're headed to Atlanta? Yes, I would agree with that statement. Am I willing to, at this point, completely and totally write off LSU and even Ole Miss, you know, barring, you know, somebody wins here, somebody wins there, somebody, you know, some of those kind of crazy things happening? I don't know that I'm willing, the way this season has gone, I don't know that I'm willing to lock anybody at this point. So I would ask Mr. Feinbaum, let's not pack our bags yet. Not willing to give up on LSU, even willing to give an outside chance to Ole Miss. Just kind of pump the brakes just a little bit before we start locking in tickets at this point of the season. Just my thoughts on Mr. Feinbaum's take.
So is it a matter of semantics? Is it the way that Feinbaum presented it? What was it that kind of rubbed you the wrong way?
Just saying that it's an absolute lock, that there's just, I think this has just been too crazy of a season. And the truth of it is, when you've got an offensive line like Alabama has, you know, you stumble across the right defense that does the right things on a certain day, and you don't come back like you did against the Tennessee. That team gets up on you if they figured out your offensive schemes, if they can poke holes in your line that where those weaknesses have been all season. And even though they might not be right there right now, they don't just all of a sudden completely disappear. So I'm not willing to make anybody, well, outside of Georgia in the East, I'm not willing to make anybody, and Missouri fans probably don't like that. But anyway, I'm not willing to make anybody a lock right now. I think it's a bit premature. I think we've got to see a little bit more football. Alabama's still got some big games coming up. Mm-hmm. Just my thoughts. Mm-hmm. What's your first takeaway?
The SEC running backs. I'd like to talk a little bit about the guys that hit over 100 yards this past Saturday, starting with Quinshon Judkins, who's really had an up and down year. He's not even in the top five still in terms of rushing yardage among running backs in the SEC, but 124 yards on 21 carries, one touchdown. A good solid game for him. He's up to 567 yards on the season, seven TDs, averaging more than 4 yards a carry. But even more impressive is Alabama's Jace McClellan, who showed up against a tough Tennessee defensive line. 27 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown in that game against Tennessee. He's up to 569 yards rushing on the year, averaging almost 5 yards a carry. 4.7 is, I think, his average. Wow. And then how about the great story from Missouri with Cody Schrader, the former D2 player? He's leading the SEC in rushing with 807 yards, Saturday against South Carolina, he rushed for 159 yards, two touchdowns. He is currently at the 807 total yards, ninth in the country. He leads the SEC with nine touchdowns. He is averaging 5.8 yards a carry. What an incredible season so far for Schrader. And then I want to give mention to the Texas running back, Jonathan Brooks. Even though he didn't crack 100 on Saturday, he was at 99. But for the year, he's at 825 yards, six TDs, and averaging 6.4 yards a carry. So I know we talk about the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, the running backs. To get 100 yards rushing in these games is a huge accomplishment.
Absolutely.
And so I just thought those guys who are workhorses, who put their bodies through so much week in and week out, just want to give them a little bit of love. You know, you look at the top five, there was a couple I didn't mention. Ray Davis, he's actually number two rushing in the SEC with 781 yards, eight touchdowns. Of course, he didn't play Saturday. They were on a bye. And don't forget Logan Diggs down at LSU, who has 611 yards rushing, six touchdowns, almost 6 yards a carry, 5.82, I think. So Jalen Wright from Tennessee has been playing well. He ran into a wall at Alabama, but
yeah,
just want to give the running backs in the SEC who are performing at a high level, give them a shout out.
That's a great call. Cause like you said, it's been really, there's been some impressive showings or outings from a week to week on a week to week basis by a lot of those guys. And then some of them, like those top two or three that you're talking about, man, they are putting together an impressive, you know, beginning to end an impressive season.
Yeah, no doubt. How about your number two?
Well, you brought up Quinshon Judkins. I almost messed that up completely, but I think I got back. I got back on track there. That makes me my second takeaway is Ole Miss. I think they looked a lot better against Auburn. Now, Auburn's offense, have mercy. We'll talk about that later. But in spite of that, their defense has been a little bit of a bright spot for them. And I think one of the things that we saw in the game Saturday night is it seems that Ole Miss is peaking and getting things on track at the right time. For instance, you said kind of the year that Quinshon Judkins is having. In the first four games, he barely got to 50 yards a game. However, in his last three games, 122 yards a game, including the one that you mentioned with the yardage he got against Auburn Saturday night. You've got Jackson Dart that is staying very, very consistent, almost at 2,000 yards, a little over 1,800 yards, still 13 TDs, still only three interceptions. So that consistency is still there for him week after week. Then if you look at the remainder of their schedule, Vanderbilt, A&M, both of those games at home, at Georgia, oof, that's unfortunate. Then at home for UL Monroe, that's unfortunate for UL Monroe. And then at Mississippi State, which could be a little bit of a toss-up depending on how Mississippi State positions themselves for the remainder of the year, but not looking very positive, honestly, just because of their offensive woes, even though their defense seems to be waking up a little bit. So there's a potential that they get on a run and only have one more loss the rest of the season, with that being at Georgia, and they finish the season 10-2. Who knows where that leads them? And their running game with Quinshon Judkins getting on track, that sure is the positive that kind of puts things in that right track and at least sets them up for what could be a great run at the end of the season. And who knows where 10-2 gets you the way this season is gone. So to me, watching that game, although I know it was against Auburn, so it's not like they beat Alabama and I get that, but still seeing their running game on track, the way their team responded to certain things in certain instances in that game, it feels like at the right time, they're getting things back on track and looking a little bit more like we expect them to look. So could be a very interesting end of the season for Ole Miss fans watching this team play.
Yes, it will be. My second takeaway, it takes us to Norman, Oklahoma, looking at the Oklahoma Sooners last year, a real, just an uncharacteristically bad year for OU, not typical in their program's history. And everyone was talking about, oh, TCU's taken over the Big 12, Kansas State. Well, guess who is back in the driver's seat this year? The Sooners. They've gone from being the hunted or to the hunter to being the hunted. Yep. So they were flying a little below the radar going into this season. Well, now at the position where they're at, number six in the country, they are now the hunted. And there's a transition that takes place in the mindset of coaches and players. Suddenly, you're the one with the bullseye on your back. Mm-hmm. You're the one that's getting everybody's absolute best game. We saw that last Saturday against UCF.
Absolutely.
Gus Malzahn had his team ready to play. They tried to pull out all the stops. Maybe got a little too cute for their own good with that trick play on the two-point conversion to try to tie the game. But that's typical Gus Malzahn if you watched him coach throughout his career. Sometimes he's too smart for his own good. The guy is incredibly intelligent play caller. But OU responded to adversity. This is going to be the rest of the season for them. Everybody's going to be gunning for them. This is how you prove that you're a playoff game or playoff team. And I like this OU team. They got a tough one going up to Lawrence to play against Kansas. They've got Bedlam. They go to Stillwater to play against OSU. They got West Virginia at home. Don't count out the Mountaineers. They're very liable to try to, you know, they're capable of pulling an upset.
Yep, yep.
And then they've got BYU, which should not be much of a game, even though that's at BYU. And then they've got TCU. TCU's 4-4 right now coming into the season or coming into this week. So I like the Sooners team, and I like how Venables is guiding them to now move into this new role as the sixth team in the country. Be prepared for what is going to happen every week.
Yeah.
How about your number three?
That's a great point. My number three is I want to talk. I'm going to get in a little close here. I need to have a heart to heart with the Arkansas fan base. Okay. I need you to take a step back, take a breath, maybe take a moment and take a sip of a Sam Pittman old cold beer and just take a chill for just a minute, okay? I understand when your season is as off the rails. I mean, I'm a Vanderbilt fan. I get it. When your season is this off the rails, hurt people, hurt people. We've talked about this before. I understand. But let me also say, even though the majority of the Arkansas fan base is, Ben, are you a fan of National Treasure, the movie? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's that scene where Ben Gates is on the run and agent, I think it's Sadusky, is chasing him because the declaration has been stolen. And they meet in that church. They encounter one another at that church. And Ben Gates says, I really don't want to go to jail. And agent Sadusky says, somebody's got to go to jail. I understand if you're an Arkansas fan and the season is this far off the rails, somebody's got to go to jail. Somebody's got to get fired. I think Sam Pittman showed you in the last 24 hours that he's still willing to make the tough call. Danny Enos is gone. That was a bad hire. There is no way. There's no way to dress that up. It was a bad hire. But at the same time, the D coordinator, Travis Williams, was very obviously a good hire. So let's not baby out with the bathwater this one. Let's take a breath, let them finish the season, and give our buddy Sam Pittman a little bit of grace. Let's remember where this program was when he took over. Let's just take a breath, let him recover, get past the Danny Enos, make a good hire for next year. Again, hate it for KJ Jefferson, but let's – The Sam Pittman headhunt. Let's take a little bit of a breath and chill on that one, and let's finish the season, see what kind of hire he makes for the old coordinator, and let's go for there. Just wanted to speak up for our buddy Sam, I guess, is really.
A six-game losing streak is such a tough place to be in.
That is tough. And, you know, going back to the defense, five of those six losses have been by 7 points or less. So they've been competitive. They've been in the games, even with the disaster of an offense, and that, a lot of that goes to KJ Jefferson getting a lot of things done on his own. But they've still, even with that, they've been competitive. So I know the 6-game losing streak is hard, but things can get better. I really honestly believe, genuinely believe, Sam Pittman is the guy that can get it back on track. Let's give him some grace and let that happen.
I like that take. Well spoken. My third take is an upcoming game this Saturday between South Carolina and Texas A&M at College Station. This is a crossroads for two programs, and depending, I think, on this game, we're going to get a lot of clarity. South Carolina needs to win 4 out of their last 5 games just to get bowl eligible. Mm-hmm. Shane Beamer has not had that great of a season. What did he do? Break his foot the other night? After the – was it the Florida game?
Yeah, I think so.
Kicked something. And he's got Xavier Leggett, his best wide receiver, is questionable for this game. He's got offensive linemen questionable for this game. And they already give up – they're near the top in terms of sacks mm-hmm. given up. Mm-hmm. So that's not good because this A&M defense is pretty stout. Yep. On the other hand – if Jimbo Fisher, I'll go on record and say this, if A&M does not win Saturday, Jimbo is gone.
Yeah.
They will come up with the money. That will be too big of a loss to a South Carolina team that has underperformed and is reeling. That's how big this is. South Carolina is 6th, and they would be at the bottom if not for Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Unfortunately, A&M is 4th in the SEC West, and we were talking just a few weeks ago, Darren, they look like they could be in the driver's seat in the SEC West.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So a lot is riding on this particular game. I don't know if Shane Beamer will lose his job because of the injuries. People may see that. But I do think Jimbo Fisher will if they lose this game.
Yeah, you know, the one thing when you compare the two, when you kind of put the two on scales, you know, side by side, even though there were some high expectations going into this year, it wasn't the kind of expectations that A&M has every year. And even though Shane Beamer has definitely stepped up what he does, what South Carolina does with recruiting, and that is definitely one of his strengths, you know, he's still not carrying the weight of the best signing Wow, that went off the rails quick. I don't know. Can I try that again? Let's try that again. The highest ranked recruiting.
Do over.
Yeah. The highest ranked recruiting class in the history of recruiting rankings. You know, that's a big thing to carry when disappointment has been all around every season since. And that's kind of where Jimbo is. So when I think you're right. I don't know that this is it for Shane Beamer, but if he figures out to beat A&M, I think you're spot on. I think they'll come up with the money and they'll take care of it quick. Probably one of the reasons why Jimbo wasn't overly excited about bringing on Bobby Petrino because they've already got the interim head coach if they do let him go. You know?
Bingo.
That could be an issue.
Yeah, it could. Yep. It could. Well, let's let the music of Prince transition us to this week in sports history. Oh.
October 25th, 1884, the Lafayette Leopards defeat the Lehigh Mountain Hawks 56-0. This is the first game in the rivalry game that has taken place each year since. This series is the longest uninterrupted rivalry game in all of college football. The two teams have played a total of 158 times. There have been 5 ties in the series. Lafayette holds the overall lead with 80 wins. The rivalry is so old that it predates football trophies. The winning team instead keeps the game ball. These are painted with the score and kept at the winning institution's campus. Lehigh displays its game balls in its Athletic Hall of Fame, and Lafayette keeps its game balls at the official residence of the president. The rivalry between the two schools is so intense, it has extended to all sports. The schools created an all-sports trophy in 1968. The trophy is awarded each year to the school which wins the most varsity sports meetings during a school year.
Oh, thank you.
It's time to take a look at our sports pick'em standings, where we go, where we are as we head into week 9. So, Darren, can you pull those up? Where are we right
Let's
now?
Let's see. Where are we? Oh, well.
Ouch. Can you delete that real quick?
Let's see. What is that? Is that a fourth place? Is that number? I can say that because you're going to have another opportunity a little bit later. So it's give and take. But I tell you what, we've talked a little bit about Paul's rise to the top, and there he sits. I believe this is the second time that he and Zach have been tied for first place. So they were now have another week where the two of them are tied for first place. I'm still hanging out in third. I lost. I'm like Vanderbilt. I've got to learn how to win. I lost first place and haven't been able to get it back. So, and then, well, you're in fourth, and I'll just leave that there. I won't say anything else.
it hurts you when you forget to make your picks again and you miss the first three games.
Well, you know, I would just like to take a moment to apologize, because last week when you were telling the story, you included the fact that I texted you to try to remind you this week.
Uh-huh.
That did not happen. I did not. You asked for reminders. And I failed. That's
I know. Now, Zach, I actually got a text from Zach.
Oh, good for Zach.
Not until I could not make those first three picks. So I think that was strategy on his
Very
part.
Strategic.
He wanted to help out, but not help out too much.
You know, that neutralizes his picks there. If his are wrong, it doesn't really matter. So I think you're right. I think you might be onto something.
It's shrewd. It was a shrewd move on his part.
Very much so.
Well, here's some better news. Since Darren so graciously counts the picks that I make on here, regardless of whether or not I forget to do them online. Mm-hmm. And so that's a better graphic, and we can just kind of let's – look at that and soak that in for a minute or two.
Oh, look, the screen froze.
Don't take this moment away from me, man. Where's the track? One shining moment. I got to pull that thing up.
This is my one shining moment. You leave me alone.
Well, let's get into our picks for this week. As we mentioned, South Carolina, a team that's struggling, riddled with injuries, mm-hmm. is traveling to College Station to play the Texas A&M Aggies. Again, not meeting expectations this year. A crucial game for both teams. Darren, who prevails?
I tell you, as much as you feel like this might set up as an opportunity for South Carolina, there's just so many injuries and they've had so many difficulties. And I think last week's game even started to show you, even with the season that Spencer Rattler is having, there's just still only so much he can do. And I think we've kind of reached that max point. And if I'm a Gamecock fan, I'm concerned about what the rest of the season looks like. And I think this is not going to be a very pleasant night. I think the A&M defense is going to be too much, and that's going to open up the opportunity for the offense to be dominant. I think this is an A&M win.
Yeah, I like this A&M defense. I'm going to go with the Aggies. The sixth-ranked Oklahoma Sooners travel to Lawrence, Kansas to face the unranked Kansas Jayhawks. A surprise team from last year, struggling a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. Can they muster up enough to give the Sooners a challenge here, Darren? What do you think?
Well, I will say this. You nailed it when you were talking about in your takeaways that OU is now the hunted. They are going to get Kansas's best shot. We can guarantee that. So the question is, will it be enough? I don't think so. Man, I am a absolute believer in Dylan Gabriel and what this offense is doing. You know, we were talking about this offense and what they look like even when the competition wasn't that tough, but the steadiness and the consistency of the offense is really what stood out to me. And I think they're just going to continue to do this. This is going to be an Oklahoma win. How about you, Ben?
I agree. Sooners. The number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs are facing the Florida Gators in what do they call this game anymore? It used to be the largest cocktail party. Now they don't say that. So what is this game?
Didn't they go with something generic like the world's largest outdoor gathering or something? It's something. I don't know exactly what it, but it's something like that. It's so bad, whatever it is.
Have you ever made a road trip down places that obviously are trying to get tourism dollars, and they'll be like, the world's largest chair, the world's largest candle.
Did you know there's a world's largest Big Gulp, by the way? There is an actual.
Is there really?
There really is. I've seen someone have a picture out in front of it. It does exist, but anyway.
Wow. Well, color me purple. I never knew that.
Well done.
Who you got in this one, Darren?
We're fans of Billy Napier. I want to see it work at Florida for Billy Napier, but hopefully this week will not be an indicator of how the rest of his time, how his time's going to go at Florida. Cause I would be as surprised if it's ugly. I think Georgia shows some dominance potentially. Don't think it's going to be this mega ugly game like it could have been, what it looked like it may have been just even a couple of weeks ago. But I do think, I think this is a Georgia win. What about you, Ben?
I'm going to defer because this is part of my four down territory picks. So nice. Let's move on to the next game.
Nice.
Brigham Young University travels to Austin to face the 7th-ranked Texas Longhorns with backup quarterback Malik Murphy. Mm-hmm. Longhorn win, Darren?
Yeah, even with a backup quarterback, Texas is so strong this year. I know a lot of that strength is based on what Quinn Ewers can do, but I feel like they're on a very strong track in what they're doing. This is a Texas win.
Yeah, a lot of Southern Baptists in Texas. I don't know how many in Austin, but there's a lot in Texas. And Southern Baptists, Mormons, you know, we talked about religious war before, but I'm going to go with Texas.
That's a serious religious war. That could turn into something.
Yeah. Plus, Texas has Buc-ees. I don't think Utah has Buc-ees.
Now, you talk about a defining factor. There it is right there.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs coming off of a victory last week over Arkansas in one of the lowest scoring games this year in the SEC, it may be the lowest scoring, is traveling to Auburn to face the Auburn Tigers, coming off a hard-fought loss against Ole Miss. Darren, who prevails in this one?
Auburn is favored, and actually favored by like 6, which is a little surprising to me. But I got to tell you, we don't know what Will Rogers' status is for this week. So as far as we know, this is a Mike Wright start. And even though there are times when Mike Wright has a little bit of the same issue that Auburn has and not being able to complete a forward pass, when there are moments when there is an occasion that he needs to rise to, and he does. I mean, he led Vanderbilt to their first conference win in over 2 seasons last year, and didn't just do it with his feet, but he also got his arm working. He threw a great touchdown pass to seal the game into traffic. It was a beautiful pass. So there are moments when Mike Wright can rise to the occasion, and I think if he gets his second week in the offense and they figure out how to use his feet even more, which opens up the possibility of his arm being an effective tool as well, then Mississippi State can win. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think this is a Mississippi State upset of Auburn.
I'm going to stick with Auburn here. Hugh Freeze is, you can see it on his face. This is a rough year, but this is year one for him. So he's going to make some major changes in the offseason. But I thought they played Ole Miss tough. If they can get a little bit of production from they scored 21 points. That's not horrible.
Right.
I think Auburn is going to pull this out, a big home win. The 21-ranked Tennessee Volunteers coming off a loss in Tuscaloosa. That was truly a game that was a tale of these were the best of times. These were the worst of times. The first half was the best of times for Tennessee. The second half, not so much. They go to Lexington to face Kentucky. Both these teams have had losses on the road to powerhouse teams. Tennessee losing at Tuscaloosa, Kentucky getting blown out in Athens against Georgia. What do you think about this one, Darren?
Honestly, I just don't have the confidence in this Kentucky team that I did at the start of the season. I think when you look at the passing game and what Will Levis has been unable to do on just control of the offense, use of his arm, all of that, I'm not seeing it from Kentucky. Even though this is in Lexington, I feel like this is a Tennessee win.
Yeah, Will Levis hasn't done anything for Kentucky this year. I mean, he's on. Isn't he on the Tennessee Titans roster?
Will Levis, is that what I did? I say Will Levis. Good gracious!
Isn't it Devin Leary?
Devin Leary. Last name with an L totally threw me off.
Well, you got a short now for this week.
Devin Leary has done even less than Will Levis for this year. Wow. That, out of nowhere. L names, I guess, get confused in my head. Who saw that coming? Will Levis, Devin Leary, it's still not going to work. And they're Tennessee is going to win. How about you, Ben?
I'd like to get behind Kentucky pulling off a big home win against Tennessee. I know this is somewhat of a rivalry game, but like you, there's too many question marks on the offensive side of the ball for Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They've got a great running game. The quarterback position has not panned out the way they thought with transfer Devin Leary coming over. I think the fact they're getting Tennessee off of a loss to Alabama, and you watched and listened to Josh Heupel in that press conference afterwards. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a Tennessee team that comes ready to play, and so I've got the Volunteers. Yeah. The Vanderbilt Commodores travel to Oxford to face the 12th-ranked Ole Miss Rebels.
I'm trying to do that thing where I make myself disappear so I don't have to pick. No, it's not working. You want me to go ahead and pick?
take your time.
There's just no need to prolong the suffering. This is in Oxford. Yeah, this is just not going to be pretty. There's just nothing that – I mean, Vanderbilt's defense is so beat up. They were playing poor when they were healthy. And now they're beat up. The offense has shown a little bit of promise, which means there might be moments where it looks like they can keep it close, but that's the best that'll happen. This is definitely going to be an Ole Miss win. What are your thoughts, Ben?
I agree. Ole Miss.
Unfortunately.
Remember to participate in the Brew and Shavers Pick'em. Go to CBS Sports, look for College Football Pick'em, Brew and Shavers Pick'em. Our password is Pick'em 1234 !. We'd love to have you be a part of this and get you in on the action, and a couple of perfect weeks and you're right in the thick of things.
And you're there at the top.
So that takes us now. In fact, before we go to four down territory, I think there's a different way we can do that. How about a little guitar solo from Prince?
Nice.
Let's go to four down territory.
You're in four down territory.
All right, let's get right to it, Darren. Your sure thing pick of the week.
All right, my sure thing of the pick of the week. Wow, it's really went off the wet rails for me. I even just almost mispronounced rails. Is Tennessee, just like we've talked about. I think I'm very well documented on the lack of confidence I have in Will Levis. This is a Tennessee win. That to me, it's a sure thing. How about you? What's your sure thing, Ben?
I'm going to stick with the Oklahoma Sooners. I like what they're doing. I like what Coach Venables, how he's guiding them. I think they go up to Kansas and come out with a victory. How about your upset pick, Darren?
Well, I'm going to stick with what I called when we were picking the games. I think Mississippi State, it's kind of weird now that I think about it. You know, last week I picked Auburn as the big upset, and this week I'm picking Auburn to be upset. So kind of an odd dynamic, but I think Mississippi State pulls off the upset. What's your upset pick?
Darren, there is a fine line between greatness, appearing to be a genius, and appearing to be a fool, and people thinking you've absolutely lost your mind. This next pick fits into that category. I've looked over the list of games for the SEC this week, and I'm going to throw it out there. Billy Napier, don't make me a fool. I know it's going to take just about a miracle for them to pull off an upset against Georgia. But in this crazy year in the SEC, wouldn't that be perfect? Florida goes to Lexington, gets blown out by Kentucky. Kentucky goes to Athens, gets blown out by Georgia. Florida pulls off the most shocking upset this year.
You know, the one thing I will say with the season that we're having, I think you just made a great point. If it does happen, you can kind of look at it and go, huh, yeah, that tracks. I can see that with this season. So that's a great point.
And if it doesn't, next episode, I'll come on and say, what was I thinking?
you'll come
Darren,
on.
Darren, you're my friend. How did you let me make this pick?
No. You need to go with I was held hostage. It wasn't even my pick. Somebody else made me do it.
That takes us to our brown bag pick, looking at this past weekend. Darren, what's yours?
Well, since I did pick Auburn as my upset pick last week, I obviously paid very special attention to their offense, trying to see if there was a chance that they could pull this off. And so their offense is going to be my brown bag pick for this week. 151 yards passing a game, only averaging one touchdown per game, and just one interception short of averaging one interception a game. So literally a TD and a pick per game in their passing game. 6.4 yards per attempt in passing. When you were talking about running backs, you featured some running backs that have more per attempt on the ground than Auburn does in the air. And here's the one that really blows my mind. Their defense averages 14.56 yards per interception return, and they have 9 interceptions. So that's not a small sample. That's a pretty good amount of interceptions. So literally when their defense catches the ball, they gain more yards than the offense does when they catch the ball. I'm just saying, that's a brown bag stat. Now, I don't want to just totally bag on them. The one thing I will tell, first let me say this, 32% third down percentage, absolutely atrocious. They do, if they make it to the red zone, the red zone, and I think this is where you see Hugh Freeze kind of come out. If they make it to the red zone, they score 82% of the time, and 80% of those scores are touchdowns. So they do get in the end zone if they make it to the red zone, but that's very rare. When in today's world, when you're at 150 yards a game, one interception and one touchdown a game effectively, and less than 7 yards per attempt, that's a brown bag offense. You got to figure that out in the offseason, Hugh Freeze. Who's your brown bag pick?
I'm going to go up to Fayetteville, the Arkansas Razorbacks. I don't want to belabor the point, but KJ Jefferson, 19 of 31, 97 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, one fumble that he lost. The running game, a total of 103 yards. Now, Rocket Sanders is still hurt, not playing. There's really no bright spot. It was one of the worst played offensive games that we've seen in a while. Arkansas just has not been able to make it click, maybe with this move. And letting go of Dan Enos from his offensive coordinator position, they can get stuff going. You hate to see coaches lose their job, I think Coach Pittman was forced to do something.
Yeah.
One bright spot for Arkansas was their punter, Max Fletcher, who booted a 62-yard punt. So all is not lost in Fayetteville.
Right.
Got a guy that can switch up the field in a hurry. But hopefully they can get this going. KJ Jefferson is an immense talent. Hopefully they can get Rocket Sanders back from injuries and finish the season on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the post-game quote of the week. And, Darren, I have a feeling where we're going for this one.
Well, we've got to go and stand at the podium with Coach Heupel, because when you lose a game on the road, especially against Alabama, you're obviously in any circumstance going to be asking about the officiating, and you can't do anything but admire his response. Let's listen to Josh Heupel for just a minute.
It seemed like at points in the second half, your defenders were having to play two-hand touch, and they were allowed to play mortal combat out there a little bit. I mean, did you feel like that it was a bit one-sided?
Next question. Yeah. Was that long enough silence?
Yeah.
That's a man who's been around a lot of football.
Yeah. He knows how to not be fined, because he said a ton, but never technically said a word. I thought it was very well handled. Yep. And, you know, I don't care who you are. In the heat of the moment, especially in a post-game press conference, a game you expected to win and you've lost, and you're asked a question like that, and the other team had a penalty, not just less penalties, but a penalty, that's just not going to set well. I don't care who you are. So knowing that that's the case, I don't think he could have handled it any better. I thought it was magnificently done on his part.
And Gary Danielson was absolutely shocked that Alabama had one penalty.
He's still trying to figure out where the officials went wrong to give them that one.
Thank you for listening to another episode as we go out swinging today.
Yes, we
remember
do.
To make your picks on our CBS Sports Pick'em. Remember to like and subscribe, to comment. That helps us out a lot. Remember, new episodes drop every Tuesday. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us here on YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcast. But thank you for being here. Until next Tuesday, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is so important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or a text to our text line 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. See you next week.